Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the opinions or views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
From Los Angeles, I'm Justin Svakas.
I'm Zach Birchie.
And I'm Bamboo Dong.
And this is the AnCast. Sorry.
Yeah, want to try that again?
Well, you know what? Actually, let's not try that again, and I'm going to leave all this in. We should mention we're all very tired. Just so everybody knows, this is our first show recording with our new equipment. We have all of our own equipment now to record the show. Before, we were doing it at the graciousness of the folks at NYAV Post, who let us record at their nice little studio in Burbank, but we couldn't stay there forever. So now we have our own home, which is coincidentally my apartment, and our new recording equipment. However, because we didn't properly check levels and stuff and just recorded an entire show willy-nilly, the playback sounded like crap, so we're re-recording this show. So if we sound a little tired and a little beat and like we're laughing at jokes we've told once before, that's why.
Not to mention I'm kind of feeling allergic right now.
Oh, yeah. Justin is allergic to Holly, which means he has no soul. I think that's a pretty good indicator that you're a soulless
monster. I love bunnies.
Monster.
I just... Well, okay, fine. Who might argue?
Okay, so the first thing we already talked about, I cleaned out my closet, and in there was in the bowels of my closet was a bunch of old marketing stuff from the early part of this decade, where these anime companies actually had a marketing budget, and so they would spend it on stuff like these ridiculous tchotchkes that would only wind up going out to the press. So what I found...
And retail buyers,
right, yeah, to entice
them. Who clearly couldn't care less.
Yeah, right. But what we're talking about are, like, these sort of tchotchkes. Like, they had... Genion was kind of the worst offender. They, it was cool stuff to get at the time, but
right.
I can't imagine the money they spent. Basically, like, for Last Exile, they put out this bag. It was a messenger bag. It had a pair of aviator sunglasses with a monogrammed case. There was a pen, a really nice pen, and a whole bunch of other shit. None of this was ever given to the public. It never went to stores or anything. It was just sent to us.
And, you know, when people spend that kind of money on promotion, you know, usually you talk about, you know, some sort of return on investment. What could possibly have been the return on investment on Last Exile aviator sunglasses?
I guess maybe, like, the press is easily fooled. I mean, and they're like, whoa, look at these awesome sunglasses. I'm gonna talk the shit out of this show.
I know people, like, in mainstream press, you know, Hollywood studios do the same thing, and, or at least they used to before the economy went to hell, and nobody could really give me a good rationale as to why people spend so much money on, like, crappy notepads. Like, I have a Shonen Jump post-it note set. What am I going to do with that?
My theory is that there is someone in each company, and their sole purpose is to say, what kind of shit would I want? And if I make enough of them, I can justify making it for myself. So maybe there was some guy who was like, man, it'd be so awesome to have Last Exile aviators. And then he was like, hey, guys, I have a really great idea.
And
we're just
going
to make a shitload of these, and we're going to send them to the press. Everyone's going to love it, I promise.
And when they get really lazy, they're like, black t-shirts.
Well, yeah, and of course, the interesting thing about this is that the anime industry now, I can't not imagine them spending any money on that sort of thing because it's such a waste of time. But back then, when they had all this money and I guess not enough sense, they were blowing it. Bandai would blow it on these huge press kits. Huge press
right,
kits.
Right, like the one for Dot Hack.
Right, the one for Dot Hack that had the plush, what was it called?
Grunty.
The Grunty. God, that show. Fucking
cute.
B-Train. But it came with a DVD, T-shirt. I think it might have come with the game, which is... That's expensive.
Yeah.
Puts that in there.
I'm sure they didn't pay cost for that.
It was just a demo
of the game?
Yeah.
Demo of the shitty game.
And a T-shirt.
And a T-shirt, right. And so... It's
a giant cardboard octagon.
Yeah, it was a huge cardboard octagon.
It must have cost like $30 to ship each one of those.
Yeah. Does anybody remember if ADV ever did anything like that?
I wasn't really a beneficiary for most ADV stuff.
Bamboo, did you ever get the press kit for Panty Pony Dash that came with children's chalk and a little chalkboard?
I got that one, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the...
Oh, you know what they sent out? Remember it was for some other show, and they sent us these big, giant metal ammunition cases.
Oh, yeah, the ammo boxes. That was Madlax.
Oh,
Madlax.
The big, yeah, I remember, like, what the hell am I going to do with this? Because it was filled with, like, packing material and then the DVD one of Mad Lives.
It was so heavy because they actually went to an Army surplus store,
yeah.
Bought a shit ton of these, and then just spray painted the Mad Lives logo on it.
My God, I threw that thing out almost as soon as it came in. I mean, it's neat, I get what they're doing, but what am I going to do with a real ammo box? Like, I remember, like, when I was a kid, my friends used to keep their Hot Wheels and G.I. Joes in old ammo boxes. But as speaking as an adult who keeps his toys in pristine condition and would never keep them in an ammo box, that's not really a solution for me. But, yeah, I mean, and of course, the ultimate example of wasted money on promotional items that don't help the show are the leather bomber jackets for Heat Guy J that Jenny On had.
Leather bomber jackets.
Yeah, I assume they're leather. As I said, I've never touched one before. They might have been pleather jackets, but they looked really nice. I mean, it was embroidered, this big Heat Guy J head on the back.
How much is a bomber jacket? A
couple hundred bucks, gotta be. I mean, I'm sure they got a deal, but...
Why would you wear that in public?
You're like sitting in a bar, like hunched over like a glass of whiskey. You got this huge Heat Guy J logo on your back.
That's my problem with the t-shirts. I mean, like back when I was, you know, still getting these from Bondi, from ADV, I still have this huge stack of black t-shirts, most of them with this huge anime key art on the back. And look, I love anime. I really don't feel like wearing that outside.
Well, the best one was the Utena shirt. Right?
Yes, with... Toga and Sionji, that's his name. Sionji looking longingly into each other's eyes while embracing each other behind Utena. I so want to wear that in public.
You should.
No.
Although I did see dudes wearing that at anime conventions. Like, I would see guys wearing that around.
Yeah, you also see dudes wearing the Lucky Star t-shirts. I wouldn't be cut dead in that either.
Yeah, that's true. Some of them seem particularly proud of those Lucky Star t-shirts. But, I mean, the crappy anime t-shirts been around... forever, though. I mean, I remember when ADV for the longest time started packaging them with the first DVD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it would be...
Or panties.
It would be like... Oh, yeah, and the Najika panties. But it would be like a Hanes, like, basic white t-shirt. Some of them, I think, might have been V-neck, which is just a terrible thing to send out.
No.
And it would have, like, a cheap-ass Razafon iron-on on it that's guaranteed to not last more than one wash cycle. Like, you know that's not going to come out on the other side.
It just reminds me of, like, the greasy old 50-year-old men that used to show up in like, to my anime shows in, like, really, really tight, obviously shrunken down, faded Sailor Moon t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, there's always that guy. There was a guy, and they had made it themselves. Like, clearly they had it printed.
I don't know about this case, but you on.
Well, my guy that had the, like, sort of, it's like you can kind of see through it. It's
right.
Really thin.
Oh.
And it has, like, a self-made, like, lum iron-on.
Could you see through it because it was damp, or could you see through it?
No, it was just because it had probably been through the wash cycle a good 500 times.
And the armpits are yellow.
Yep.
Oh, no!
Incidentally, that guy smelled like pits, seriously. Like, he had a pit stench radius of, like, 3 feet. Like, anime club guys.
If Robin was around, he would have commissioned fan art.
Gross.
Right.
Well, some of the stuff they sent out was actually kind of neat. It was useless.
Oh, yeah, there was some cool stuff.
Totally.
I'm not saying it wasn't neat stuff. Like, the most recent thing was the samurai swords, right, from Funimation?
That was, like,
it was a while
4
ago.
Years ago.
Yeah, but back when anyone was spending money on that stuff.
It was just one of those, like, 3 sword sets, and it had a nice, like, stand and everything, and it just said, like, Samurai 7 on the bottom.
But it was actually 3 samurai swords.
Samurai
swords, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, Hands of Steel or whatever.
That stuff like that, I'm not entirely sure that was a complete waste. Well, for you it was, because you would have covered Samurai 7 regardless. But
they sent it to, like, MTV. MTV suddenly might give a shit.
Yeah.
That's kind of the rationale behind it. And Samurai 7 was actually getting play on IFC.
That's true.
So that might have... And that's the whole point of these things, is to get mainstream entertainment press to pay attention to them.
Which they almost never do.
Well, 90% of the time, no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what these guys were up against. And I guess they're just throwing everything they could at the wall, see what stuck.
I guess so. So the other thing I found in my closet, I just want to mention this briefly. I found, obviously, my old portfolio, which has everything that I've ever been on or been in, you know, like if my name was on it.
Anime Colony.
I mean, I have, that's an electronic portfolio, but my physical portfolio, like when I worked in print. And I used to work for, I used to freelance for Beckett Anime Collector. And my column was called Land of the Rising Fun.
I've never heard that, and I have to goof on you for that for probably the rest of our days.
That's fine. I deserve to be goofed on it.
It's so pornographic.
It's so terrible.
If there's not a porno named after that, there should be.
Oh, I'm probably. But the thing is, Beckett back
in the
day... That'd
be Land of the Rising Gun.
Ooh. Yeah.
Beckett back in the day didn't care at all about copyright, obviously, or they just figured the Japanese wouldn't notice, because the covers were commissioned pieces of basically fan art where they would just mix together whatever they thought was popular. So the ones I found, because I would have the cover and then the pages from the magazine.
Yeah, I remember they're really kind of crappy looking.
They looked like shit. Yeah, they were very, the artwork was very poor. It was like a bootleg Simpsons t-shirt quality. And the one that I found, there were two or three of them in there. The best one was Yugi from Yu-Gi-Oh! On the bike from Akira, and the bike from Akira is covered in Dragon Ball and Pokemon stickers. Which, I mean, who are they getting with that? Is it like a kid who's like, oh my god, all these things?
Those three shows have so much crossover.
Yeah, Akira. And then there was one with a Gundam, like holding its hand out, and there's like a light in its hand, and Ash from Pokemon and Pikachu are like screaming and flying back, and Yugi from Yu-Gi-Oh is reaching out to try to catch her, to try to like help them, and they're in the hand of a Gundam. I don't know. What?
I really wish there was a Charlie Tuna involved in there somehow.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so I have found those pages. Yeah, so that's sort of the other relic that I found at the bottom of my closet. That and a odd pile of still shrink wrapped yaoi manga that just never got sent. Well, it got sent to me, and then I never sent, because at the time we didn't employ Casey, so I didn't have anyone to send it to.
Right.
So it just
nobody else on our staff. Everyone else is male. So
right, and so it wound up in a box. And proof that I had not read it is that it is shrink wrapped.
Right.
The shrink wrap is intact, mind you. So that was sort of at the bottom of my closet. But we should probably talk about anime. Something.
Do we have to?
Yeah. I didn't really watch anything this week. I know we just started streaming Bacano on the site, right?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch it either. I've just been so busy.
Maybe did you like that show?
It's fun. Yeah, I like it
good.
A lot. Yeah.
Like,
is it worth it
good.
For the long haul? Like, did you? Because you've seen the
I
end,
think so.
Right?
Yeah, no, I saw the end. And what's really interesting is that the way that the story is told, it's kind of like a puzzle piece. Like, it's not just told in a very linear fashion from front to end. It's just like, it'll be the same scene, but told from like three different points of view and like, it really works together in the end. It's actually,
that's cool.
It's really fun.
Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Are we going to be streaming the whole thing eventually?
No.
Just the first two?
Yeah, just the first two for now. It's up to Funimation. They basically send me whatever they want, and I just put it up.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a complete series box set next month or whatever. But Justin, you saw the latest Production IG movie.
Yeah, that's right. I saw their new feature and their first foray into 3D CG, unless you count that infernal Kano sisters piece of crap. This is actually a kid's movie called Oblivion Island, and I was really kind of impressed by it. It was, I mean, it has some pacing problems, but I've never seen non-video game related Japanese CG look this good. Japanese CG does not look that very good. I mean, we all remember Appleseed kind of being the high water mark, which is really, really sad.
Do you remember, you ever see those, like, Academy of Art school commercials where they'll have student, like, CG films?
Oh, God.
A lot of it looks like that stuff, where it's, like, really rudimentary, someone's half-finished CG project.
Yeah, and even a show as recent as Freedom, I mean, that was all done 3D and then cel-shaded. But, you know, you could kind of, every character kind of moved way too much when they spoke and then slowly morphed back into standard position.
It snaps back to the That's so cheap.
Really?
It is so cheap. I didn't like Freedom at all.
No, Freedom was terrible.
But I suddenly had a peculiar craving for cup noodles while I was watching it. I couldn't tell you why. Subtle.
And then, of course, if we want to go back even further, there's the absolute garbage like Alice and Malice Doll.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Funimation one, no, the Genion one.
Mr. Stain on Junk Alley.
Oh, my God.
Which was a little better
so
than...
so stoner, like, just slinking down an alley to, like... music, like, burr, 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 burr. And he would do something quaint and, like, knock over a pile of boxes or something.
I wonder how much Jenny had paid for that.
I don't know, but Funimation has it now.
Oh, God.
Wasn't that always a Funimation
thing? It was always a Funimation
Okay,
title.
I'm mistaken. That's,
no, there was
that's,
another,
that's all funny. So, Funimation, when are we going to get the Mr. Stanley Junk Alley Deluxe Collector's Edition Complete DVD set? I want it on Blu-ray. That's what I want.
It's actually, I think it's only one disc.
I'm sure it is. Whatever. They should dump money into remastering it for Blu-ray. That's what I'm saying.
Totally.
So... but overall, that you liked this Oblivion on the...
I did. It, rather than trying to emulate live action as much as possible and making the mistake Appleseed did where it was all motion capture, which kind of leads to that weightless look,
right.
They puppeteer it like a Pixar movie.
Now, here's a question.
Yeah.
In most Japanese CG I've seen, especially Appleseed is especially guilty of this, rather than when someone's holding an object...
Mm-hmm.
it's basically pinned to the middle of their palm, and their hand is kind of open, and they just do the, like, I'm moving my hand up and down in a static, but it's like the gun is just like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's glued to their hand?
Yeah, that does not happen.
Okay.
No, this actually is the best looking, it looked as good as a middle of the road American CG production. But
so
it,
like maybe like Blue Sky stuff, like Ice Age?
Yeah, exactly. It looked like that level, except with humanoid figures. But at the same time, it maintained a very distinct anime look. The backgrounds were painterly and faux watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gorgeous scene in the beginning with paper cutout models. The characters themselves are very anime-looking, and even directorially, there's a major emphasis on body language and hand movement that, you know, it's the sort of anime style we come to expect and really like. I don't think this film will ever come out in the States, personally.
Really? Not even, like, direct-to-video?
No, I don't... Not unless they're allowed to severely recut it and repurpose it. The music has got to go. The music is just kind of a dead blanket over the whole thing. But really, the big problem is it's a very sullen movie. It's very kind of moody and sad, despite it being a very obvious kids' movie. I mean, it's about a girl that goes to a magical place where all of people's lost stuff ends up. And the fox creatures, well, they're supposed to be fox creatures, but they actually look more like piglets, where they steal it in that little society there. And they're all ruled by a big oppressive ruler who looks alarmingly like the king from Katamari Damacy.
Weird.
Yeah, it's a weird, very visually inventive movie. It kind of takes the best stuff from Tekkon Kinkreet, you know, the backgrounds, the really gorgeous backgrounds, and Noise Man Sound Insect, you know, that sort of really inventive and hyperkinetic visuals, and really kind of, you know, makes it a story. But it needs editing. Really badly. Parts of the beginning and ending drag, and in the traditional American, let's completely underestimate our children's ability to understand anything that isn't funny and filled with pop culture references, this would get horribly butchered by anyone trying to reach that audience. And there is no other audience for this movie. It is a kids' movie.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
That sounds like a marketing challenge. So it's, if they put that much money into it and it's a big CG project, regardless of what the film is actually like, I could see somebody just dumping it out on Blu-ray.
Maybe, like maybe. Sony, you know.
Maybe Sony.
That would be great if it did. And if it did, honestly, I hope someone at least recuts it and replaces the music.
That's butchering it, Justin. You're butchering the original Japanese.
You know, sometimes it's better that way.
No, it's not, Justin.
Japan is God.
Japan is pure. Actually, that leads us into our next segment, so let's go ahead and take a break here, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Yo! Don't give it up, Luffy. Don't give it up, Solo. Don't give it up, Nami. Don't give it up. Here's how the story goes. We find out by the treasure in the Grand Line. There's no doubt. The pirate whose eye is on it, he'll sing. I'll be king of the pirates. I'm gonna be king.
His name is Luffy. That's Monkey D. Luffy. And we're back. So I get this question a lot. We don't have a guest this week. We just have Bamboo.
And it's a good thing because our entire first recording session turned out ass.
Yeah, if we had to like, hey, could you do this interview with us again? We get a lot of Twitter questions. And one that I get over and over and over again is about people who watch and enjoy anime to the exclusion of everything else and loudly and openly to the exclusion. Like, everything else is crap because I love anime. And it got me thinking about the specific phenomenon of Japanophiles. And I was wondering if you guys sort of agreed with me on this. In the past, I think there was a tendency for anime fans to largely be at least 50%, maybe not 50%, be Japanophiles. Meaning somebody who glorifies and fetishizes and obsesses over how wonderful and perfect and pure Japanese culture and society is. I'm seeing fewer of them. But what do you guys think?
Well, I think a lot of newbies used to go through that stage. I mean, I certainly did, and I can admit that I was probably a giant douche.
Was.
Still a giant douche.
Thank you, guys. I love you, too. And I think it's probably less prevalent today because Japan is just kind of everywhere now.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, nobody knew what sushi was, or if they had, it was like, isn't that raw fish? I think that was a Simpsons episode, even.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that sushi is everywhere and Japanese stuff is everywhere, and everyone, almost everyone at least, knows what anime is, thanks to ADV and their wonderful promo, I don't think it's as foreign anymore. People know that, you know, there aren't magical girls actually living in Japanese high schools.
Right, and you know what? Actually, in our earlier discussion of this, I didn't think about this, but I wonder... I'm 4chan culture has to have something to do with fewer and fewer, or at least people being open about being Japanophiles because of the whole weeaboo thing.
Right.
Like, now there's a huge stigma attached to being like, oh, glorious Japan. So maybe that's got to be a big component. But
it can't hurt.
Yeah, it can't hurt. But
did we just admit that 4chan did something good in the world?
they've contributed to society in a few ways that are not terrible. Maybe one or two ways. But I want to know if you guys have any great Japanophile stories, because I never really went through that phase, although I took several years of Japanese. I was interested in it, and I was never obsessed with it. I was never like, oh, Japan is great.
Are we sharing douchey stories about others or ourselves?
Either or, but I'm going to start. I got
to
tell
you. I don't want to share the douchey stories about myself. You would cringe and probably look at me differently.
Can we get just one? Just one. Small one.
When I was in middle school, I would do the Rumiko Takahashi hand gesture.
Which is, why? What? How? In what
context?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
And you gotta give us something better than that. That's lame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want something more. One more.
That's lame?
Just one more.
I think that's, like, the other kind of lame that I can't believe I just admitted that on the podcast.
You were in middle school, though.
Well, yeah, all this shit was when I was in middle school. You think I did this when I was actually, you know, self-aware?
My middle school days were bad, too. Like, I mean, my online handle is still a remnant from those middle school days in which we would just, like, slap, like, Chan and Kun at the end of things, which is terrible. And
Would you talk to each other that way?
No. No, we never got that far.
No one ever called you Dongu-chan?
No, that would be terrible. But, like, I grew out of it, you know? Like, I had, like, a phase. Me and my best friend, like, we would, you know, we would, like, squeal over, like, Tamahome and Tosuke, and we'd be like,
There was this guy I knew in my old anime club in high school that used to, he used to manga-ize his life.
What?
Yeah, he used to, like, draw just reams and reams of amateur manga about his daily life and his friends.
Really?
And all of his characters were renamed whatever their first initial was, Chan. So he was O-chan.
That sounds pretty terrible.
That Chan thing drives me crazy.
It really is the worst thing ever.
Who's that one? Becca-chan, whatever? Who was at Otakon?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. She got picked up by Sony in some music showcase, calls herself Becca-chan, and wants to get the American otaku audience for her songs, I guess. But, I mean, surely you guys have been working around the anime field, and even just in college or whatever, surely you have had experiences with Japanophiles. And I have to bring up this guy, because, I mean, when I took Japanese for 3 years, this guy was in all of my classes. He would actually show up, and he had the long, greasy hair, and he would actually show up with the samurai top knot. The full-on samurai top knot, and he would come in and he would speak Japanese to the teacher when we weren't in class, and he's obviously, like, wasn't really...
How bad was his accent?
Oh, it was, you know, I mean, oh, hello, and like, Ohio, sensei, you know, like, that kind of thing. But he was really into it, and he wasn't bad, like, but it's clear he overstudied. He was always the hotshot, raising his hand for every question. But eventually we had to, and we used to hold these mixers when we would bring in all the Japanese foreign exchange students. And it was usually about 50-50 mix of girls and guys. And all they ever wanted to talk about was American culture. That's all they gave a shit about. They wanted to talk about Coca-Cola and skateboards. But this guy would be like, you're looking kawaii tonight. So we had to kick him out of, the mixers for being a creep. And part of me wondered if he was legitimately into Japanese culture, like he was just super into it, or he just wanted a Japanese waifu. Like, that's what I am sort of curious. And I wonder how much of that is crossover, because I know there's a ton of dudes out there that just have an Asian fetish and mask it by pretending to be super interested in the culture as a whole. Bamboo, you could probably talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, being an Asian female, like, I encounter a lot of people with generally, like, who are Asiaphiles. You know, like, I, just yesterday, I was at the store picking up a beer, And this guy starts, and the guy at the checkout stand, he starts talking to me, and, you know, he asks me, like, oh, you know, what's your ethnicity? And I tell him I'm Chinese. And then he just brings out the whole, like, oh, well, my wife is Chinese. And, like, that happens to me all the time, though. Like, every couple of weeks, someone just volunteers the information, like, oh, my wife is Chinese. My girlfriend is Chinese, blah, blah, blah. I don't really care. Like,
that doesn't mean you have
anything
in common.
There's no solidarity here.
Please,
like,
tell me your reaction was, well, glad she wasn't creeped out.
Oh, gosh. This is just weird. And, like, one of my close friends, her roommate is, you know, super white. She's from, like, the Midwest. And she eats everything with chopsticks. She eats Van de Kamp's fish sticks with chopsticks.
Does she dip them in tartar sauce with the
ketchup.
Chopsticks?
You know, she does it with the ketchup, and then she'll eat it with the chopsticks. You know, she has her little, like, tea sets, and she'll pour, like, Sprite into it.
You know, that's amazing, because somehow it's even more, like, super white to have ketchup instead of tartar sauce with your fish sticks.
It's so
I was
going to
say, I would actually give her a little bit of credit had it been, like, wasabi she was dipping them in.
No,
that would be worse.
You're
right.
That would be worse. Oh, my God.
I mean, I could understand, like, if you get Chinese takeout, you know, and there's chopsticks in the bag. That's cool. You're eating Chinese food with chopsticks. That's fine. But,
right.
Like, Van de Kamp's fish sticks, like, that's not okay. It's not even necessary at all.
You're picking out the Lucky Charms one by one. but, I mean, I gotta wonder, like, so I guess the theory is they start as an anime fan, and then they move on to Japanophilia? Like, is that,
so.
Do you think that's the direction it goes? Do you think it ever goes in the other direction?
In my experience, it's usually the people that are just kind of unhappy with life, and therefore they project it on American society, so they kind of, glorify the Japanese culture or Asian culture or whatever as giving them what Americans are too stupid to give them.
Right. It's superior because it's
because
more
it's not what's around me.
Right. Yeah, it's not what's around me. So that sort of thinking applies to the anime fans that reject all American entertainment. Because
exactly.
Even though they're consuming the exact equivalent of whatever garbage is on TV here, or whatever good stuff is on TV here, because it's in another language, oh, better.
Like, yeah.
Now I'm a cool, unique individual for watching this, not just a guy watching a cartoon.
But these people can, I mean, a lot of them try to just completely pass off anime's overall unquestioning superiority to everything American. Like, I'm sorry, you cannot tell me Magikano is better than Mad Men. It's just not.
But there are people who would say it is, or it's just as good.
And they're wrong.
Or that you just don't get it.
Yeah, you just don't get it.
The pure genius with Magikano.
Magikano.
I mean, I think like, Asia Files tend to either fall into two categories. Like, certain anime fans are, like, hipsters.
Hipsters?
Hipsters love that shit. Because
they love...
it's the whole, like, it's
I don't
the whole,
know any
like,
hipsters
because it's not American. You know, and they're all like, oh, rage America. Like, isn't it so much cooler to wear this awesome shirt with a dragon on it?
Okay, Bamboo, with all due respect, I lived in Brooklyn for the last 6 months. I don't think I saw any hipsters that reeked of weeaboo.
Really?
Not
well, it's
one.
It's a different kind of weeaboo. It's the kind of hipster that has the little Zen gardens in their home.
Have
the Asian themed weddings, even though neither of them is Asian.
See, I don't consider that hipster. I call that douchebag.
Okay.
Hipster, like, you know, has an MGMT t-shirt and,
right.
You know, doesn't bathe.
Okay,
and...
so these are the, like, douchey white people who will have, like, an Asian buffet at their wedding in, like, you know, Chicago or somewhere.
In all fairness,
okay, well, we're getting off the point here, but...
I would totally have an Asian buffet at my wedding.
Yeah, but you're half Asian, it's okay.
I don't care, the food's fucking good.
So overall, we're agreed that we're seeing fewer and fewer, at least, open Japanophiles.
And this is for the better of society.
For the better of society.
Although... sometimes it comes out. Like, I remember a few months ago in that Chicks on Anime column that we did about the SakuraCon commercial, that was, like, I mean, we gave him a lot of
which
shit.
Which SakuraCon commercial was this,
this
that
was
you're
the
referring
one,
to, Bamboo, please?
This was the one in
I
which...
I forget. I can't recall.
This was the one in which...
Did it involve J-pop?
Or Garugamesh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was just
and
a Vic bunch...
Mignogna. Anyway, go ahead.
A bunch of white people sitting in a sushi bar being like, wow, I love sushi. I love everything about Japan. Wow, this is some Naruto. This is great.
Yeah, and the reason that got immediately picked on and identified as douchey is because it was so... It's just that sort of people kind of make most of our flesh crawl.
Yeah, and I feel like we have moved on. Like, maybe, like, you know, back in the day, maybe there were more Japanophiles, but now, like, I think as a whole, fandom, we have moved beyond that.
We have moved on.
Well, we've moved on. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think you're right in that it is definitely tends to be a phase for younger kids who just, it's outside their wheelhouse, so it's new to them, and they, excuse me, you know, it's unique and it's new and original. And I think people grow out of it, but like anything like that, I know people who never did and are still totally obsessed with Japan.
Their only dream in life is to like go to Japan and teach at a middle school.
But I have had friends who were like that, and they went into JET and it broke them up. Like they now it's an accepted part of their life, and they're not obsessed with it or weird about it anymore.
Right.
Like, they've just learned what there is to learn about it, and so...
Well, honestly, you know, if you build something up that much, it never matches reality.
Right.
Like, I mean, if you go to Japan, it's not all that different than America, just everything's smaller, and if you have claustrophobia, it will be worse there.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I spent a year obsessing about how awesome that Jerry Bruckheimer movie G-Force was going to be, and pff, look at how that turned out. Okay. Okay,
what?
We're all a little punchy. Okay, so we have a ton of Twitter questions, so I want to get to these. We have both Twitter questions and questions from the community forums, which if you're a community member, you can check out the forums and send us questions exclusively through there.
And if you're not, pay us some money.
And if you're not, pay us some money. Okay, so here's the first question from Big Bright Blue Ink. What's the one thing people should bring with them to an anime convention that they often forget? Anybody?
Really?
And you have to skip... You have to skip the Purell and hand sanitizer.
I mean, it's like any other travel like / vacation.
Well, maybe you mentioned for cosplayers specifically.
Well, yeah, I mean, for cosplayers, obviously, if you're into cosplay, it's good to have like a little emergency kit, you know, like a small sewing kit, maybe some safety pins, double-sided tape for when your breasticles are popping out in every direction.
Which is increasingly common.
Yeah.
See, it's like now the anime convention is to Renaissance Fair, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's never going to be quite as bad as the Renaissance Fair.
Well, yeah, but still every full-figured woman has to have a corset. And those things are going to be, you know, dying in there and wanting to get out.
Well, that in this dignified conversation, any anime convention, there is like a booth for corsets and like Renaissance wear. There's multiple booths or like gothic lingerie or whatever. It's
There's always some woman with those like shelf puddle boobs where the breast is getting pushed out 90 degree angle and you just kind of sits on top and shake.
It's like a waterbed.
Oh no. So you can avoid looking at that while sitting in line for 6 hours for the AMVs to start. I would recommend a fully charged iPod and or DS.
Right, and
because God forbid you socialize with your friends that you came with.
I'll be honest. There are certain cons that are really, you know, you don't mind looking around, and there are certain cons that your eyes just kind of dance over the crowd looking for a safe place to rest.
Okay, well then I'll just end with my comment that. The one thing most people forget that they should bring to an anime convention is dignity.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, from that book woman, in this day and age, why are some series, Claymore, Bacano, etc., still released as single Region 1 DVDs, and do they sell enough to merit this?
No.
They never sell enough to merit it?
Very, very seldom.
Right.
The reason those are still being released is because the Japanese licensors insist on them. If Funimation and the like had their way, they would never happen anymore. Retailers hate them. Consumers have clearly voiced their displeasure with them. Some Japanese really want the American release to have as much parity with the Japanese as possible. That includes episode count. So usually the American companies will go thin pack immediately unless they have to.
Cool. Okay, this one's from Stab Kid. Have any of you ever owned or worn one of those Dragon Ball or Rōnin Kenshin silk shirts?
What?
Do you remember those?
Oh, God, those are terrible.
I had a friend, actually I had like three friends who had the Senosuke one, and they would wear it to every anime club meeting.
Yeah, I had a couple of those too. But
you actually had them? Like the Dragon Ball ones?
No, I didn't. They weren't mine. I had a couple of friends.
I had some friends.
Don't believe me if you don't want to. I've never been seen...
In the closet, it's all Goku shirts.
You found me out. I'm still looking for the live-action Dragon Ball silk shirts.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I haven't seen anyone...
Have Justin Chatwin's face embroidered all over my armpit.
Those have faded. I have not seen one in a very long time.
I have seen them. I still see them.
Was it a homeless guy wearing it?
No, I think I saw an
Afro Samurai one at one point.
Well, I still spend time on a college campus, so I still see them.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then, there was a kid.
There's
in my
a reason
high school,
why I'm so happy to be rid of college.
Well, there was a kid in my high school who would pair them with the Utila kilt, That to me was like the kiss of death.
No.
Yes. Oh, that guy's heading to Gen Con. That's what he's doing.
Now he just rents porn every week for my friend whose dad owns a video rental store.
Does he still rock the Goku shirt and the Attila kilt?
I don't know. I haven't asked.
Should ask.
I'm sure now he's graduated to the Lucky Star shirt with Attila kilt.
God, Attila kilt. Still remains the greatest convention photo I have ever taken. So when we went to Gen Con, they ran a Gen Con, which for those who don't know is a gaming convention, which is the nerdiest possible kind of convention. If you've been to an anime convention and you think it's really dorky, go to a gaming convention. You will feel better about yourself. But we got a photo of a guy trying on a Attila kilt, really scrawny little dude, kind of tall, typical nerdy type, staring at himself in the mirror, arms akimbo, with the Attila kilt on, and his pants around his ankles, because he's trying this Attila kilt on, and I surreptitiously snapped this guy's photo, and I can't get enough of it.
If only we could publish that.
Yeah. I still have... all right, so from Bradley C. Meek, can you recommend any documentaries about anime or anime fandom?
No.
There are no good ones.
I used to get these all the time when I worked at Imagination, and I still occasionally get them doing the streaming for ANN. People make these terrible things, usually with, you know, a little bit of production background, a pirated copy of Final Cut Pro, and, you know, a cheap $1,000 DV camcorder, and go out to a con and try to make a documentary out of it, or even an ongoing series, and they're unwatchable.
Right.
Usually they make the paramount mistake of thinking that endlessly explaining the endless anime in-jokes are funny.
Well, I mean, there's that, and then there were a few professionally released ones, like Otaku Unite, which is terrible.
That was not, well, professionally released, but not professionally made. That was so clearly done by, you know...
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
And the other thing is they get dated so quickly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, usually they're a pet project, so they're shot over a number of years, so you get the... You know, the middle-aged otaku that has, like, a giant wall full of Ranma wall scrolls. And, you know, that's maybe one or two people now, but that used to be most of fandom. Now that's so not representative of fandom and where fandom is, it's just, it's irrelevant.
Right. Yeah, and it's got the 1-2 punch of being boring and a vanity project.
Right.
So it smacks of ego, and none of these are actually documentaries. As much pain as it would cause you, I really hope someone does try to make a good, solid documentary about anime fandom, because I think there's something interesting to say about it. I think you could have an interesting doc about it, but you'd have to get professional filmmakers to do it who are distanced from the subject.
Yeah,
I don't want to see an anime. I do not want to see a documentary about anime fans made by hardcore anime fans.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, it's not possible. It's a difficult subject, even for a professional documentarian.
Right.
Because it, unlike Star Trek, which, you know, has Trekkies, and that's what everyone points to. It's like, I'm going to make Trekkies for anime kids. Well, see, that's the thing. Everyone knows Star Trek. Everyone's seen Star Trek, at least a little bit. So you cover Star Trek fans, and everyone kind of gets it. Not everyone. In fact, very few people have seen Ouran High School Host Club.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very few people have seen Ranma. Very, very few people have seen whatever people are cosplaying as whatever year you happen to go to an anime convention. And there will be like 80 different shows mentioned. You have to explain every single one, and you get so lost in the details that it's at some point it becomes a story not worth telling.
Right. So the challenge is out to professional filmmakers. If you want to tackle the subject and know what you're doing when making a documentary, hey, I'd watch your movie.
My answer is no, I don't want it.
Send it all to Justin at animenewsnetwork.com.
Look at the Ken Burns anime documentary spanning like 10 volumes, which could actually be amazing.
And it would have like a twangy, like Maya Sakamoto song over in a slow pan over like someone's torrent files or whatever.
And so, when the first time I saw Full Metal Alchemist.
Sincerely, Kanoko-chan 42. Okay, from Ted the Bear, what is your opinion?
I can't take his screen name seriously.
Ted the Bear.
I just picture a fat guy dressed in a bear suit.
Hey, come on now. This is one of our loyal listeners.
Ted the Bear. It's a good name.
Ted the Bear, please let us know if you are a fat guy in a bear suit.
Right. Okay, yes, please do. Send explicit photos to Justin at Anime News.
No!
Okay, what is your opinion of the harem genre? Bamboo, why don't you take this question?
I don't have any opinions really specifically about the genre. I think there are good harem shows and there are bad harem shows.
That's an edgy opinion. Controversial.
Yeah, you know what?
You're right out there on the edge.
But it's true. Like, there are harem shows. that I actually enjoy. Like, a lot of the modern, like, Moe Harem shows, I think are really cute. Like, Air, Canon, those kind of shows, I enjoy them. Whereas, or, like, Please Twins, which I think is super cute.
You must think the Special Olympics is fucking adorable.
No, but you know what? Shut up. Shut the hell up. There are some shows that are cute, even though it is about, like, a girl running around a city who can't find her fucking mittens or something, okay? But some of them are, like, they have, you know, they have cute characters or something's, you know, charming or whatever. But and then there are harem shows I can't stand. Harem shows where it's just, like, you know, a bunch of girls living in a house with a guy. Some girl punches the guy, like,
but
every
it's
2 minutes.
But that's the same. Now it's just, instead of punching the guy, now it's a drama instead of a comedy. Like, that's where the genre is gone.
That's my problem with the genre. I mean, I have no problem with that setup, per se. But the fact that so few shows have any imagination to do anything even remotely interesting or original with it. I mean, how many times can you really see a guy fall into a girl's cleavage and get clocked upside the head?
Right. And then, like, but there's a moment before she clocks him upside the head.
Where she blushes.
Yeah, where there's, like, oh, possible romance? Like, that's always in there. And I, you know, it's funny, like, I used to like the harem genre, like, more than I don't think I could watch a new one. Mm-hmm. But I used to like Tenchi, and I was really into Love Hina when it was out. When the digital fan subs first came out, I was watching that, like everybody was back then. And everybody was super into that show. It was huge. Funimation re-released it recently, and I tried to sit down and watch it, and it's not good. I mean, it's not funny. It tries too hard. It's trying too hard to be zany. It's just not a good show. But at the same time, I would still rather watch that than any of the Moe dramas, melodramas. Because I can handle, actually, and this is kind of weird because shitty comedy is like my kryptonite. I can handle something just failing at being wacky. Something failing at being a soap opera, ugh. Like, it's just boring. Like, it's just not fun to watch. And I don't find the characters cute. I find them creepy and disturbing.
What
so.
Really upsets me about any anime, if it's a crappy anime, is usually how paint-by-numbers it is. I mean, how many times have we counted the harem shows that stars a milquetoast guy that sees his childhood friend and her skirt flips up in the wind and there's like the bad MIDI music and he blushes and goes, "We've been friends for a long time." But sometimes I think, wow, she's really cute.
Oh God.
Well, at least with the Moe shows, like the male protagonists are actually somewhat useful. They're not just like these soggy shells of men, like, you know, Keitaro. You know, at least the
that show really was. I didn't realize how excessive the misandry is in Love Hina.
I'm very grateful that show came out during one of my burnout periods.
Well, I came to a new conclusion watching that show, is that it's about horribly broken people that don't really deserve love finding love with each other, because Naru is the world's biggest bitch. Like, it's the worst character in the world. Who would fall in love with that girl? He looks at her askance and she breaks his nose. It's terrible. Like, who would be like, oh, this is hilarious? Like, no, it's awful. Like, this miserable loser in a shitty existence living in a house full of bitches that hate him. Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Like,
yeah.
The show in New Light is not, it doesn't hold up.
Although the opposite female stereotype is also true, and I also hate that character, the one that's like, will do everything for the guy, you know, the childhood friend who now lives with him because his parents died in a car accident or whatever, cooks for him, cleans for him, and then gets really upset when he goes like bang some other girl.
Well, it's so clearly stereotypical wish fulfillment, and it's so lazy when that happens, because it's clearly nobody's put any thought into this. It's totally phoned in. I mean, that's the intro for every, you know, half-assed Arrow game, too.
Just so we don't fall into the ANN hates Moe whatever meme, that Bamboo, you are clearly living proof is not true. I do want to end this quick harem discussion with a show that I did like, which was Rumbling Hearts. Did you guys ever see that?
I watched like two episodes. I'm like, I have to finish this, and I just never did.
I panned the first episode, and then I watched the rest of it, and it's successful as a total potboiler, typical daytime soap opera. Yeah. And that's what it is. And it functions okay on that level. It's not a bad show. But I did like that. I don't hate the harem genre. It's just, it's not, it is something I feel like I've outgrown.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a teenager, I was, you know, I liked Oh My Goddess.
Right.
I liked what did you call Oh My, or what did that guy call him?
There was an IGN review of Oh My Goddess that the guy said, this show is for somebody who, you can want, you'll get a lot out of this show if you want to fuck your mother, if you want to fuck your little sister, or if you want to fuck your sister-in-law. That's for these people. And there was so much nerd rage over that because people love Oh My God It's to Pieces. And the guy was just basically just bitch slapped the show. And God, so much nerd rage. I don't necessarily completely disagree with him. I think the Belle Dandy character is an awful stereotype of a 1950s housewife. It's a fantasy object for somebody who doesn't want to deal with a real woman. But I've taken my share of lumps for my hatred of Belle Dandy.
I don't think she's that bad, but you know, clearly she's not the sort of woman I would date.
What is the sort of woman you would date, Justin? That's a good question.
Call me when I figure it out.
Okay, moving along. Let's take a question from the community forums. Well, I'm not touching that one. There's one. Should Lolicon or Shotokan be banned? Why or why not? Maybe next week, dude. We'll talk about that one next week.
No.
Okay, from David Seth, who's a subscriber. What are your thoughts about Akira, Cowboy Bebop, Death Note, and other anime getting greenlit for Hollywood treatments? I think most of them aren't going to happen, and I think Cowboy Bebop is going to happen, and that's probably it.
I would be genuinely shocked if 90% of the ones that were announced as option deals ever take place, and that's largely a product of where Hollywood's at right now. There's just not a lot of money floating around.
Yeah, unless you're making a superhero movie, you're not going to get much.
Yeah, and these shows might have a small built-in audience, but certainly not one big enough to do the kind of numbers that would need to do, like, a $150 million movie.
Plus, I feel like some of those titles, like, they're big enough that people who don't watch anime have heard of them before. I think there's a lot of people who don't want to watch a movie based on an anime.
Like, just because it's based on anime, they won't see it?
Because it's based on anime. I mean, if you're an anime fan, well, even anime fans don't want to watch it because they're like, oh, you're going to ruin my...
Well, in their defense, Dragon Ball.
Well,
that was a product of the writer's strike more than anything else, but still.
Actually, I've been hearing that there's actually quite a few independent producers who are in Japan trying to get the rights to push these deals, and they're starting to encounter a lot of reluctance in Japan because no manga creator wants their work to end up like Dragon Ball.
Wow, that's a shame. It's a shame because I would like to see... I want to see the Leonardo DiCaprio Akira. I want to see that. I think it could potentially be pretty good. I'm very open when it comes to adaptations, though. I don't really care if they change, so long as it's still good and it has some spirit of the original in it.
Exactly.
What I want to see is I want to see a good movie. I don't really care how fealtous, whatever the hell it is to the original source material.
I completely concur with that. I mean, it's important to approach these projects with an open mind, but... At the same time, it's true that there has not been one live-action anime adaptation that has been good or even watchable.
I'll say it. I'm optimistic about Cowboy Bebop. I think it's probably going to work. Just my opinion. Yeah, I do. Then again, I don't hate Keanu Reeves, and I think the material is already as Western as can be anyway.
I just don't know what kind of story they'd write.
The show is episodic, though.
Yeah, so would they just pick one episode? Would it just be some random dudes in space?
Well, it worked for the anime movie.
I think it'll be fine. I don't think you have any of the structure problems that you're talking about. Yeah. Any movie, you introduce a ragtag crew, they go on an adventure, the end. I mean, it's not rocket science. What?
Armageddon starring Keanu Reeves.
Okay, now, I guess to wrap up, we got this letter. Justin got this letter, so Justin, I'm going to have you read it. But
yeah,
we wanted to address this letter and make.
So first up is about the fan base.
Well, this is the letter.
Okay, yeah, this is the letter. So first up is about the fan base. I don't visit the ANN forums, sorry. Nor do I go to any conventions, so my view into the world of anime is pretty small. I'm just a consumer. Is a typical anime fan as bad as you make it out to be in your podcasts?
My answer to that is no. We exaggerate not only for comic effect, but time and jadedness and cynicism has taken its toll on us. All three of us are approaching or past working in the anime industry in some professional capacity for going on a decade. And that's a long time to be involved with it.
We've all been to so many conventions, and we're just... I'll admit it, I'm a little sick of the scene. I don't really... I'm almost 30. I don't have anything in common with the screaming 15-year-olds flash-mobbing internet memes. I just don't.
Yeah, it's not for us. I have to make this important distinction. I think anime fans in person generally are okay. The ones that I've met, either at our panels or wherever, they're nice folks. Some of them are weird kids, but we're all nerds here, Online, everyone's a complete butthole about everything. Of course, everybody's a dick, and I have a lower opinion of the people that give me shit on the internet. Obviously, everybody does.
Right.
So that's a big difference. Like, when I bitch about anime fans, I'm primarily bitching about the people I see online. The people at anime conventions, teenage party weekend, if I'm bitching about teenage party weekend. What am I doing in this line of business? You know?
Exactly.
So that's sort of my take on it. I guess my definitive answer is no, they're not as bad, but you're listening to a bunch of grouchy old timers complain. So
plus we've been to so many anime conventions. We've been like staring at our forums for so long that like basically every bad person, every bad experience, that just sticks in your mind the most.
Yeah. If you meet a good person and you meet a really rousingly, horribly awful person, you're going to remember the rousingly horrible person.
Yeah, and then if you moderate our forums, which Justin, you don't do, but Bamboo, you do it, you take a lot of crap. I banned a guy for yelling at some kid and just being a dick, and he sends me a private message, like, really profane, calling me every name in the book, telling me I guess I'm racist because I guess he's some minority that I don't know what he is. You deal with that enough, and it takes its toll. It gouges you a little bit. You start thinking, these guys are kind of dicks. Well, you know, that's the culture online, so I guess that's sort of that. So there's another part to this letter.
There's a reason I never asked for mod powers.
Yeah. I'm glad you don't have them, actually. There would be no one left on the forums.
It's true.
Okay, so second part of this.
My second question somewhat tied to the first. Your guests, Mr. Birchie, and yourself have made the case crystal clear that the anime industry is in a world of hurt and only getting worse. Likewise, it sounds like you got trapped, is that a correct description, in being involved in the dregs of anime. Finally, it seems like the fan base isn't the most pleasant to deal with. Why do you stay involved in anime? This is really a what motivates you sound question born out of curiosity, not a suggestion of you sound bitter, you should quit.
It's very nice of him to phrase it that way, because most people, when I get this question, and I've only gotten it a few times, they do sound kind of dicky, like, you should just quit and give me your job, you know, or something like
right?
that. But that's nice that he phrased it that way. What do you think, Justin?
I still really like anime, and I really love my job. And I think that comes across both in the podcast and in my writings, and I think that comes across for most of us. I wouldn't still be here if I didn't think that the industry in some capacity could bounce back from this eventually.
It's normalized over the last year or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of in the same place the economy is. It's still in a bad place, but it's not falling off of a cliff anymore. You know, I still like what I do, and I still like interacting with fans, and, having stepped away from that for a few years, I really did miss it.
Yeah, for me personally, I just love my job. Most of my job, people don't see. It's managerial. I manage writers. I come up with new content. I launch columns and edit reviews and stuff. I love that part of my job. My interest in anime has become utilitarian. If it happens to be an anime and it's good, fantastic, and I get exposed to a lot of it. And I've actually come out of a burnout phase, and so now I'm watching more stuff and exposing myself to more of it. I wouldn't say I'm stuck. I am one of few people who graduated college and have a 10-year career already, so I'm proud of that. And I see no reason to walk away from it, because I still love doing this. I mean, the anime has changed, and the fans have changed, and yeah, times have changed, and yes, I'm a bitter old crank who likes to bitch about it, but I still love my job. So there you go. And if that doesn't come across as often as it should, then that's my bad. So that's about it. What I'm going to do is leave you with a cut segment from the first taping that we did of this show, where the levels are kind of screwed up, so sorry about that. But I exposed Justin and Bamboo to an amazing Miracle Whip commercial that some of you may have seen. So here's that clip, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Sure.
Okay, final question from our friend Sarah. Miracle Whip or mayo on your sandwiches? And I'm going to say, as a rebellious urban hipster youth, I go with Miracle Whip because that's what I'm gonna go with. Yeah.
That's fucking
Haven't you heard?
No.
Haven't you? So you haven't seen this commercial?
No.
Okay. I'll play it on the podcast. You haven't seen the commercial where it's a bunch of hip urban youths on this rooftop having a pool party, and they all have Miracle Whip. Have you guys seen this?
No.
They all have Miracle Whip. Okay. You know what? I'm gonna play it. I can't believe you guys haven't seen this. It's so hilarious. It's a new attempt at rebranding Miracle Whip.
Be quiet.
It is.
Oh. We will not try to blend in. Disappear in the background. Play second fiddle. When we're in a sandwich, a salad, a panini or Christini, you'll know.
No. Not in a panini.
Yeah.
We're not like the others. We won't ever try to be. We are our own mixed-up blend of one-of-a-kind spices. We are Miracle Whip, and we will not tone it down.
Yeah, take that, Grandpa.
Oh.
No mayonnaise for me.
Jesus.
So anyway, as you guys can see, the only cool choice is Miracle Whip.
Fuck it, I'm going to horseradish sauce.
I use neither.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you next week.